Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to His Word. And, you know, as we look at what God is doing, what God does in the new creation, in the new covenant, one of the things that stands out is really the difference in the conscience. You know, when we say better covenant with better promises, we also have to look at various aspects that are made better in the new covenant as compared with the old covenant. And one of the key areas that the new covenant deals with is the conscience. Now, the conscience is, you could define it as the seat of the soul. Huh? That means it's the place of the inner man that hears from God, or that closes itself to hearing from God, in that it's that place where God has direct communication to a man, and if the man hears, then they can be guided on the path of truth. But then if they don't hear, then they can harden their heart, and when they harden their heart, they are not able to hear God, and they reject God. And we see one of the things that, one of the places that will actually either condemn us or acquit us before God or make us holy before God is the place of our conscience. And when you think about how it speaks in the book of Romans, that those that rejected God, they did not think it worthy to take on God in their conscience. And the Bible says that their consciences will either judge them or declare them to be righteous before God. And this is something that will happen even for, especially for those who sin outside the law. And I mean, when you read Romans chapter 2, it goes into detail about those who sin outside the law. And when we think of that, we think of, you know, those who've never heard of the gospel. You know, there are people who've never encountered the message of Christ, and maybe our great-grandparents or those who are in different traditions and religions and that have never encountered the message, there is still a place in God that judges them, which is their conscience. And a conscience is really the place that hears or refuses God. It's really the heart of the soul of a man. And it is very important that we see how did the old covenant and the new covenant compare in terms of the conscience. And this we are going to read from Hebrews chapter 9. And we are going to see what the blood of Christ does. Now we'll read from verse 1, Hebrews chapter 9. It says that the first covenant between God and Israel had regulations for worship and a place of worship here on earth. There were two rooms in that tabernacle. In the first room were a lampstand, a table, and sacred loaves of bread on the table. This room was called the holy place. Then there was a curtain, and behind the curtain was the second room called the most holy place. And in that room, or this is the Holy of Holies, in that room there was a golden incense altar and a wooden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, which was covered with gold on all sides. Inside the Ark were a gold jar containing manna, Aaron's staff that had sprouted leaves that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. So remember, you can think of it, there's a box, the Ark of the Covenant, and inside it, we see that it has a gold jar of manna, it had Aaron's staff that had budded, and the stone tablets of the covenant. Now, verse 5, above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover and the place of atonement. But we cannot explain these things in detail now. This is what the writer is telling us, Paul. Now, verse 6, it says, when these things were all in place, the priests regularly entered the first room as they performed their religious duties. Verse 7, but only the high priest ever entered the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies, and only once a year. And he always offered blood for his own sins and for the sins of the people. had committed in ignorance. By these regulations, the Holy Spirit revealed that the entrance to the most holy place was not freely opened as long as the tabernacle and the system it represented were still in use. Now, verse 9, it says, "This is an illustration pointing to the present time, for the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them." Now, this is very important because we are looking at purified consciences. Purified consciences. It says that for the gifts and the sacrifices that the people, that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. Now, verse 10 says that, "For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations which that were in effect only until a better system could be established, or until the time of Reformation." Now, when we just before we get to the new part of the new covenant, we can see that, picture this, for the whole of Israel, they could only get the forgiveness of sins once a year. And it was when the priest was only able to enter the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. You can remember there was the outer court, then there's the inner court, which is the holy place, and then there's the most holy place, the Holy of Holies. Now, in the Holy of Holies, the priest can only enter, and which is the high priest, he can only enter there once a year, and he enters with the blood. But even as he enters, they used to tie his leg with a rope, and the rope had bells, or he had bells in his, that as long as he was moving, they knew he was alive, because it was possible when, if the high priest enters the most holy place and he offers the sacrifice or pours the blood or brings the blood on the mercy seat, and remember, on top of the Ark of the Covenant, where it was called the mercy seat, which was a covering of the Ark of the Covenant, and that's where the cherubim was, and the glory of God will always come above the cherubim. You know, he would comes in between the cherubim. That's why he says he who dwells in the midst of the cherubim, because the cherubims cover the glory of God. Now, when the high priest will enter, and then the glory of God will come, because that room did not have any light. The only light that was in that room was the Shekinah glory, the light of the glory of God. Now, when the glory of God came, he will come and in between the cherubim, but then it is on top of the mercy seat, which is the covering of the ark, and that is where the priest will have sprinkled the blood. Now, when he comes on the mercy seat and he finds blood, then he is able to not see the law. Because remember, under in the box, what is inside the box? Inside the box, there is manna. Then there is also the staff of Aaron that had budded, which was representing the election that God had chosen the Israelites, or God had chosen Aaron. No? But then also there is also the Ark of the Covenant. Now, the stone tablets. Now, the law. Now, remember, the law speaks against the people. Do not kill, do not steal, and they are failed. But then on top of the law, which covers the law, is now what we call the mercy seat, or the throne where God will come and sit on. But now in that mercy seat, then that is where the priest will sprinkle the blood. And when God came and saw the blood and accepted their sacrifice, then they were forgiven. But you see, if God did not accept their sacrifice, the high priest would die in the presence of God, and they would have to pull him out through the rope that they had tied on his leg. Now, for that year, if the high priest dies, then for a whole year, the people will know that their sins are not forgiven, and they will not, things will not be okay with them. And they will know that they have to wait another year for them to be forgiven. Now, it was that serious. But you see what the Bible is telling us, that this was just a cleansing, not It was not even one that was able to cleanse their consciences. Why? Because even though they said they will feel that their sins are forgiven, year after year they will still go back and ask, "Go, please forgive our sins again." They will still, something in them, their conscience in them will still condemn them. Why? Because the blood of goats and bulls has no capacity to cleanse or to purify the conscience. Now, verse 11 says, now we're in Hebrews chapter 9, so the Christ now has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. And now this is now the difference in the new covenant, right? Because the old covenant, it was the high priest. It was men who would go and offer. But now we are being told that Christ is now the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered that great, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this creation or this created world, verse 12, with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Now look at what God is saying. He's saying that Christ entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle. Remember, the old tabernacle or the old covenant was a copy, was a shadow of the reality, of the things. The realities are in Christ. Now, remember when you read the book of John and in the last chapter when Jesus, you know, resurrected and he meets Mary Magdalene in the garden. And Mary Magdalene, when she realizes that it is the Lord, and she says, "Rabboni," and she wants to hold on to Jesus, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me." Why? Because I have not yet ascended to my Father. That means that immediately, actually it shows us that, and maybe when you get time, just look at that, it shows us there were actually two ascensions of Christ. That means the first one, he ascended when he had the blood. When he had the blood, and when he just came from the grave, he went and ascended to the Father, and he told Mary, "Don't hold on to me. Do not cling to me." And this you can read in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, verse 17. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So Jesus already sends Mary and tells Mary, "Don't hold on to me, but go and tell your brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." So this is actually the first ascension of Jesus. So immediately he ascends, and this is what we correlate it with Hebrews here, where he says that he entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not of this created world, is not of this creation. And he did not enter by the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place. So he entered the Holy of Holies, which is in heaven, once and for all time, and secured our redemption forever. So you can see that God, Jesus, entered the most holy place, and he entered not by blood of goats and bulls and calves, but he entered by his own blood. So this, as he ascended, he carried his blood, and he entered the Holy of Holies in heaven, and he secures our redemption, our forgiveness, our payment, our redeeming, once and for all, or eternally, forever. He obtained eternal redemption. And that's why when we say that we are forgiven eternally, it is because that in heaven, our forgiveness is completed. It is done. And then it says, as verse 13, under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. That means that it was only ceremonial cleansing that they were cleansed in the old covenant. Verse 14, just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds or from dead works, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of sins they had committed under the first covenant. Now what God is saying is this, that Christ offered a most perfect sacrifice for our sins, and the blood of Christ has the ability to purify our consciences. That means that when our consciences are purified, then we cannot condemn ourselves. We cannot again feel guilty before God that we don't deserve his mercy. You know, like it's if you're going to God and you're still feeling that, oh, I can't really be forgiven because I did this in the past, then you are already, your conscience is already is not purified, and you're not really able to access the grace of God and access everything that God is able to you. Why? To give to you. Why? Because your conscience is not clean. Now, the new covenant not only just, it goes beyond what the old covenant could do, which was just ceremonial purification, and where from time to time, they could not even be forgiven if the priest, high priest, dies. But now we are being told that Jesus Christ entered the most holy place, the true tabernacle, with his own blood, and he has paid for our sins, our eternal redemption forever. Once and for all, he has offered the perfect sacrifice, and he does not need to go and keep offering that sacrifice again and again and again. And what God does is that he purifies our consciences. Now, I want us to conclude with looking at Titus. And in Titus chapter 1, verse 15 to 16, and this is very important that we read, and I'm going to read it from NKJV for this one. It says, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, and or rather or to those who are defiled and unbelieving, and those who do not believe, nothing is pure, but even their mind and consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. They are unable to do any good work. Everything is pure to those whose hearts are pure, but nothing is pure to those who are corrupt and unbelieving, because their mind and their consciences are corrupted. Such people, they claim to know God, but they deny him by the way they live. They are detestable and disobedient and worthless for doing anything good. God is telling us that only the blood of Christ has the ability to purify our consciences and to make us pure. If you want to know you're born again, is that even when you see this message that says we are forgiven forever, that our eternal redemption is forever, your conscience cannot tell you now, let us go and sin because we are forgiven forever. If your conscience tells you that, then you are not yet purified. You're not yet born again. Why? Because in your mind, you're thinking that since salvation is paid forever, we are free to now sin. But no, the person that is purified in their consciences, in their conscience, is born again, is truly born again, is the one that receives this forgiveness that has been given eternally and continually thanks God and hears God, and does not consciously fall into sin, but knows that God has offered forgiveness available for us eternally. And our job is to walk in that purified conscience, knowing that our past sins are forgiven and that we can serve the living God. That means, I tell you, unless you have a purified conscience, you cannot serve the living God. As long as you still feel that God has something against you, you cannot serve the true living God. As long as you're still thinking, oh, it's because what I did yesterday, you cannot minister to God. But when your conscience is purified by the blood of Christ, by the blood that was offered eternally, in the true tabernacle, then you are free to serve the living God. This conscience is very important. Why? Because it is the place that hears God. It is also the place that can serve God with a true heart and with a true conscience. The Bible tells us, to the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and those who do not believe, nothing is pure. In fact, both their minds and their consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable and fit for doing anything good. That means that if you find someone who claims they are a believer, but by what you see, what they do is not right, then that means they are not yet purified. Their conscience is not yet purified. They have not yet been born again. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny him. That is a contradiction. When you claim to know God, but your actions speak otherwise. If we are purified, all things are pure. The new covenant, the blood of Christ, comes to purify our consciences that we can serve the living God, and that as we serve him, we do works that bring him glory. We don't do dead works which are just to make us saved. No, we do works that are purified. So I'll stop there, and I pray that God gives us more insight into this and even more reflection about the purified consciences. My brother, you are welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Marlon.
Okay. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you come to speak to our inner man, to speak to our consciences, and you come to purify it with your blood. I pray for pure hearts, pure minds, pure consciences, O God, that we can serve you, O God, to know that you have offered your blood in the true holy of holies, in the most holy place, and you have offered it once and eternally. And by your blood, we have mercy. We receive forgiveness. We receive access. We receive the heart of God. And indeed, we hear your voice and we can serve you. We can serve the eternal God through the living God, through our spirits, O God. I thank you for them that need this purification of your blood. I pray that indeed we shall know that our past sins are forgiven, O God, and we shall now grow in the righteousness and be established in truth and serve you according to purpose. He that does not know you, I pray that as they ask for forgiveness, that you may accept them, that you died for them and you are raised up for their glory. We pray all this. May our day be blessed and ordered. Cover our children, cover our family members, cover everything that concerns us. Give us wisdom in the workplace. May our words know, be seasoned with wisdom and with salt. We pray all this in Jesus' name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom and blessed, blessed day.